Good morning. Bring your greetings from Faith Mennonite, my home congregation in Goshen, and also from First Mennonite in Indianapolis, where I just completed a transitional assignment. Thanks for the warm welcome. I'm looking forward to our time together and getting to know as many of you as possible in the coming weeks. It's a good Sunday to start, Epiphany Sunday, because our gospel reading this morning is about foreigners who came from the East and showed up to worship Jesus. So I can fit right into that. I came from way beyond the Oregon. The Magi's route to meet Jesus was the correct route. It brought them to Jesus, so it was the correct route. But upon meeting Jesus, they could not return the way they came. The route the Mennonite Church of Normal has taken to this point today was the correct route. But like the Magi, we cannot return on the path which brought us here. With transition work, a congregation is more likely to discover the path that the Spirit of Christ is calling it to pursue. As we've already talked, an epiphany is a sudden awareness of a new reality. It's the realization that we can experience what the Lord taught us to pray for. And as it is in heaven, experience on earth. Can we experience as it is in heaven, on earth, today? We'll come back to that in a moment. Jake and Jethro were best buds. They grew up together, slept in the same room, shared the same toys, took off together on neighborhood adventures, and often lost track of time. That's when my son would get a call, "Come get your Rottweiler and goat." Now, if a carnivore and a carnivore's meal can defy natural instincts, why do us humans have such a problem getting beyond our human nature? Well, let's go back to the beginning to understand why we struggle with that so much. Infants are the center of their universe. Can I get an amen? That's who they are. That's what they're supposed to be. But as they move into the toddler years and beyond, they begin to discover that they are not the center of their universe. And the few who don't end up as adults with narcissistic personality disorder. We cannot escape human nature on our own. Tribalism is the result of a very primal instinct to survive. We form clans and cliques and classes and cultures in which we feel safe and secure. Human nature calls us to fear what is different, whether people or different experiences, or even different concepts. But when too much of our life is lived within our own tribe, we cannot avoid looking down on other tribes. My brother-in-law taught in an Amish school for 20 years. It was a unique district that wanted a non-Amish teacher. Wendell took his 7th and 8th graders to Chicago every other year for a field trip, and once I had the privilege of setting up their itinerary. So of course I wanted them to ride on the CTA. And I'll never forget this experience. We were on a car. Half of the car was Amish and half was African American. And I'll never forget observing both groups looking at each other. Both were seeing new to them groups of people. The Amish were visibly anxious. The African Americans, because they were used to diversity in the city, weren't anxious, they were just puzzled. Was this a cast for People of the Corn 13? Or Amish in the City, reality TV series? It's human nature to have us and them categories. But God had a plan to break down the barriers that we create. And I'm not sure Christians are any less into creating barriers than the world. It's human nature to retreat back into our cliques and clans and classes and cultures, because that's where we feel safe with what we know. What was God's plan? Paul writes in Ephesians 2, in the chapter just before the chapter that was read this morning, Christ has made peace between Jews and Gentiles and has united us by breaking down the wall of hatred that separated us. He even brought Jews and Gentiles together as though we were only one person when he united us in peace. On the cross, Christ did away with our hatred for each other. He also made peace between us and God by uniting Jews and Gentiles in one body. We all know we can only be in right relationship with God when we are in right relationship with other people around us and with all of creation. On the cross, Christ did away with our hatred for each other. We cannot avoid being afraid at times. Evil is real. It's frightening to observe. But as Jesus' followers, we cannot hate another human being because Christ did away with the hatred we have for those who are different. In the epistle reading for Epiphany Sunday, Ephesians 3, Paul explains that this barrier-breaking dynamic was a mystery. And that God has been slowly revealing it over time. It's a secret plan. God's always had this plan, but he's been slowly revealing it over time. God knew that us human beings would form tribes and we'd end up killing each other over our tribal fears. The barrier-breaking dynamic was God's secret plan. There are hints of it in the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament. Today's reading from Isaiah 60, God was speaking to Israel. Nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. The walls which divide nations are going to be broken down. The Magi symbolized it, as we've heard the story in the children's time, and we've sung the story. We've covered Matthew 3 quite well today, Matthew 2. They symbolized it. Foreigners from afar saw God at work in a little Jewish infant. Most of Israel did not see God at work in the infant Jesus. Then we see that Jesus' life and ministry demonstrated it. Remember the time in Luke 4, Jesus is in his hometown of Nazareth. He's reading from Isaiah 61 and 58. At first, the listeners were eating it up. But when he explained that God cares for all nations and not just Israel, They attempted to kill him. That was a new concept, that God cares for all nations and not just their nation. And they heard it as dangerous, unpatriotic heresy. And then we come to Paul. He was passionate about breaking down the barriers between Jew and Gentile that formed his whole understanding. You can't understand Paul without realizing that this was his passion, proclaiming that good news that Jew and Gentiles are not separate anymore. In Christ we are one. It's stated most clearly probably in Galatians 3:28. Faith in Christ is what makes each of you equal with each other, whether you are Jew or Greek, a slave or a free person, a man or a woman. This concept was so central in the early church that it was actually part of the baptismal ritual. The convert would, in essence, say, the world divides people by race, ethnicity, gender, and class, but as a new follower of Christ, I no longer make these distinctions. We've lost so many things from the early church. What if we've had that in our baptismal ritual? As a follower of Christ, I no longer make any of these distinctions. Paul concludes his teaching about how this mystery has been revealed with a very profound statement in verse 10. I wonder, I'd be intrigued to hear if anyone has ever heard a sermon on this verse before. It's usually just overlooked because it's mind-blowing. But verse 10 is where he summarizes his whole point of this passage. It's so important, I had it printed at the top of your worship order. Through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. The Greek word, therefore, rich variety, comes from the concept of a tapestry with many intricate colors all formed together. And then wisdom is used in Jewish thought to refer to God's wise, all-encompassing plan, God's all-encompassing design for all of creation. That's how wisdom is often used. So Paul's painting a big picture for us here on this first Sunday of a new decade. God's plan to unite humanity through Jesus Christ reveals the great, rich variety of God's all-encompassing design for the world. He's saying, while Jesus came and demonstrated this to humankind, it is through the church that this will continue. It is the church that will continue to make this plan known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm. There's no wiggle room here in the Greek. Paul's talking about the spiritual realities out there that we can't see. And he's talking about the church of Jesus Christ, us, human beings. Human beings are making God's infinitely varied wisdom known to the spiritual realities. You can't take it any other way. Something to contemplate. That's what we're about as the church of Jesus Christ. How does the church carry out such a supernatural task? Well, we do it by simply being the church, a community of people who shatter the strong barriers the world builds between people groups. A community that obliterates the divisions of clan and class and cliques and culture. A church where those who write books are brothers and sisters with those who cannot read. A church where CEOs are brothers and sisters in Christ with floor sweepers. I'm not talking about coexisting for 1 hour on Sunday morning in a sanctuary. I'm talking about being in the same small groups, giving and receiving support from each other, working on the same committees, gathering in each other's homes. And while race and sexual orientation are big walls and barriers, I believe that socioeconomic walls are even bigger. But Christ has done away with those barriers between us. Ponder this image for a moment. It's a modern take on Isaiah's ancient Jake and Jethro-like image, where Isaiah talks about the lamb and the lion drinking together. Now we laugh, and the world will look at that and see the humor. But I think it's a profound metaphor for the 21st century, for God's eternal design for his creation. And on earth as it is in heaven, congregation will say, yes, that is us. A supernatural reality going on among us humans. The first century was a barrier-breaking reality. It broke down the walls between us and them, between men and women, Jew and Gentile, slave and free, wealthy and poor. And that's precisely why the early church grew so dramatically, despite unbelievable persecution. It was an on heaven, on earth as it is in heaven, dynamic. How can I be so sure about the early church being this way? Recall the story of Philemon and Onesimus. Philemon is a brief letter at the end of the New Testament, toward the end. And in that, Paul asks Philemon, a wealthy CEO, to treat his floor sweeper, who actually robbed him, as an equal brother in Christ. Now, Philemon knew that if he followed Paul's counsel, Philemon knew that his CEO peers would vote him out of the Colosseum skybox. Social order requires strict class distinctions. That's just the reality, still does. Paul pushes us beyond our comfort zone this morning in saying it is through the church that God's richly varied wisdom is made known to the rulers and authorities in the spiritual realm, because on the cross, Jesus did away with our hatred for those who are different from us. Supernatural behavior among people gets the attention of the world. And they come and check it out and they meet Jesus. I've had the privilege of participating in several barrier-breaking churches. And I've experienced that dynamic all by itself, bringing people to Jesus Christ, because they saw people loving each other who should never want to love each other that deeply. The world builds walls. And I'm sorry, I'm getting so old and my song references are old, but Pink Floyd made the world's way crystal clear in the song, Another Brick in the Wall. Jesus' church tears down the walls, brick by brick. One more image for you to ponder. The The world does not want walls to be torn down. That's why Jesus warned his followers that the world would hate them. When a congregation embraces this direction, when a congregation turns its pencil upside down and starts erasing the lines, the boxes, like Jesus is doing here, the Holy Spirit then takes over and sends people the Spirit knows the congregation needs. Calling his disciples, Jesus said, "I will teach you how to fish for people." Jesus did not say, "I will teach you how to fish for people who are like you." He just said, "I will teach you how to fish for people." Which end of our pencil is on the paper this morning? Are we erasing the lines like Jesus, or are we drawing lines and boxes? When something other than Jesus is the glue that holds us together, us and them thinking flourishes. But when Jesus is the glue, walls collapse and unity of purpose prevails. One question we'll be asking throughout transition: what is the glue holding Mennonite Church of Normal together in 2020?